Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to the Big Biz Show, featuring insight, analysis, and a lot of stuff that's none of your business.
Hold on. This is the Big Biz Show. I think it is their business.
Making the markets work for you. Here's the man with the plan, Sully.
Hey. Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Good day, everyone. 110 million broadcasts home strong, 150 radio stations in 175 countries. I am Sully. You can catch me everywhere at Sully Speaks Money or our website, BigBizShow.com. Michael Costa right there. He's our sports editor. He's filling in.
Hi, kids.
Good to have you.
Good to be here.
And interesting how we were just speaking about sports and what's going on in the NFL. Can I tell you, I'm a bigger baseball fan now than I have been in a long time.
Is it because it was almost pulled from us?
I think so.
Okay.
But now I'm watching, I'm like, you know, the old guys, you know, the old 60-year-olds. Oh, wait a minute. that you used to see in the stands keeping score with all their pins. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Transistor radio
in
their ear.
They all got the seats behind home plate because they've had them since 1920.
Yes.
Right? I'm one of those guys watching baseball for the whole game now. Like, what am I doing? Like, well, of course, not all the games. But
no, you know,
like
I was though.
I was watching the Phillies play the Marlins.
Okay? Yes.
Fantastic. I mean, it turned out to be 1-0. It was a horrible game because the umpire. What's his name again?
Angel Hernandez.
Angel Hernandez, who sued the World Series committee because he didn't get chosen to be in the World Series.
That's
you know
him.
Because you stink.
Yes.
You know why? Because
I don't ever want to see it again.
That's why.
You're the pits.
No, honestly.
Yeah.
Handsome dude. Good-looking guy. Looks like he'd be a good umpire. Not a good umpire. Maybe
no.
Try something else.
No.
I don't know. It really was. Because here's what happens is they have the technology now to show the strike zone, and they can extrapolate everything from spin on the ball, speed on the ball, the speed at which the ball leaves the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything. And if you make a mistake, it'll show you made a mistake. And by how many inches it was out of the batter or of the strike zone.
Well, so, now they post their grades too after the game.
Yeah.
And so a graphic goes up of that same square.
It's stinkyumpire.com or something.
It's exactly what it is. So
leave us a name.
You know, but they don't care. They're getting paid a mint to do that.
Do they get a lot of money?
They do. Oh, big money. Sure.
Because he was driving a Chevy Vega from 1972. I saw when they took a video of the people yelling at him. That was not a great car. Like, I had that car. It was like 1975, 76. Cosworth Cogs, aluminum head, orange Chevy Vega.
Cogsworth. I like that one. Yeah.
I think retails on CarMax for less than.
Chevy. But it's a Chevy. What's it, an AMC Pacer?
At most, you've got that going for you.
That's right.
Off topic. Remember the Chevy Nova?
Sure. Yeah.
Arnie Vilches, you are of Hispanic heritage.
Yes, sir.
What does Nova mean in Spanish?
Nova.
No go.
No go. Run. Nova.
Like, how do you name a car?
No go.
No, seriously, that was a problem marketing that car in South America. It was unbelievable. Yeah. Hey, listen, one of the greatest things about you as our audience members across the country on TV and radio is that you send us names of which you'd like us to interview. And sometimes they're authors, sometimes they're celebrities, sometimes they're music folks. Oftentimes they are CEOs of public companies. There is a public company called Humanigen. They are publicly traded on the stock symbol H-G-E-N, humanigen.com. Dr. Cameron Durant is the chairman and chief executive officer of this company. And what's really, they're a biotechnology company focused on developing indications for something I can't even explain. I'm going to bring him on the air with us and say hi. Dr. Durant, how are you, sir? Good to see you.
I'm very well indeed, Sully. Thanks so much for having me on the show today.
I'm going to try to, it's called Lenzilumab.
Yes, it is. But we sometimes affectionately refer to it as LENS. Makes it easier to say.
Okay, so what is LENS? What is LENS and what kind of affliction is that? Or does it cure an affliction?
Yeah, LENS is a biologic agent. It's a monoclonal antibody, and it helps modulate the immune system. So, Sully, something that's very important to understand is when people get infected with COVID, particularly those that have a severe infection and need to go to the hospital, in the vast majority of cases, the virus has been either completely or in almost every case, at least partially cleared by then. So why are they in the hospital? They're in the hospital because the immune system kicks in a way that it should to clear infections, but it gets out of control. So another way of describing this is, imagine you're driving your car and you are approaching a very sharp bend. You want to take your foot off the gas pedal and put it on the brake. In this case, the foot stays on the gas pedal. What Lens is able to do is help take the foot off the gas pedal and apply the brake and help reset the immune system. And it's that overwhelming reaction of the immune system that leads people to run into problems where they may need additional oxygen, they might need to go on a vent, the lungs get overwhelmed, and various other body systems get shut down.
So here's my question, Dr. Durant, by the way, Dr. Cameron Durant is the CEO and chairman of a company called Humanigen, H-G-E-N. Can we talk about COVID for a second, top down? Because I was just having this conversation yesterday with the CEO, and one of our good friends here, James Saperstein, joins us quite a bit, and he's sort of our tip of the spear on this, but it seems as though we have not seen COVID news in the news front and center for about 3-4 months now. It just occurred to me yesterday that I should probably get a second booster, fourth shot. I just came back into the country, had realized I had to get a COVID test still. And it kind of brought everything front and center for me that, boy, this thing isn't over. Although it may be what's called endemic, which I'm hoping that's a good thing. It's still very dangerous and it's still front and center. You're a person that is, as I like to call, tip of the spear. You're working with this every single day. How real is this as a threat compared to what it was 2 years ago, 18 months ago, 6 months ago, and of course, where we are right now?
Yeah, let's get into that, Sully. And I think an important way of really diving in is to think about vaccination rates and frequency and the emergence of variants. So we've only been wrestling with this virus for 2 years. It mutates at a rate somewhere between 2 and 10 times the rate of mutations of seasonal flu. And we've kind of got used to seasonal flu. In a bad year, there may be 700 to 800,000 people hospitalized from flu. And we can see anywhere between 50 and 65,000 deaths from flu. And yet we've grown to kind of accept that. So this year in the United States, so far, we have had 923,000 people admitted to the hospital. And we've also had 164,000 deaths this year. And this is in a situation where most parts of the country are now in the springtime, and a substantial proportion of the country has been vaccinated. So COVID in some way, shape, or form, Sully, is here to stay. So we're going to have to come up with strategies that people refer to as the new normal, but we really need to have an always on response that can scale quickly as COVID goes from being a pandemic to becoming endemic, a little like seasonal flu.
Dr. Durant, are we at endemic status now, in your opinion?
Well, there's a number of ways of describing what being at the endemic stage really means. So let me just give you three different definitions, Sully. So one of them is at the individual or at the family unit or small community unit level. And that's when fluctuations in the disease burden only cause a minimal change in people's economic and social behavior. And some people kind of already there. Then there's what's referred to as population or epidemiological endemic status. And that's when COVID exists across the population, the broad population, at a predictable level that doesn't require society-defining interventions. I don't think we're quite there yet. And then the third is economic endemic level, and that's where the epidemiology essentially decouples from the economic activity and the secondary economic impacts largely resolve. And I just want to give you an example from China. So we know that there have been lockdowns in Shanghai. Shanghai and the general Shanghai area in the Yangtze River Delta accounts for 21%, so more than one-fifth of all of China's industrial production.
Okay.
And 36%, so more than a third, of all of China's exports. So the impairment on mobility and free movement of goods, people, and everything else in Shanghai is going to have a tremendous effect. So that's an example where it is not at the economic endemic stage, neither is it at any of the other endemic stages. So we're not there yet. And even when we are, we still have to have this always on view, particularly for people who are more vulnerable.
His name is Dr. Cameron Durant. He's the chairman and CEO of a company called Humanigen. Humanigen, of course, you're looking at their website right there. HGEN is their stock symbol. Boy, we just scratched the surface. I hope you'll come back with us, Dr. Durant. We just ran out of time today, but I want you back with us because I want to talk some more about what you guys are doing. And of course, God, you feel better or worse now about that?
Well, when he starts talking in terms of the supply side of things.
Yeah.
And a fifth in China.
Right.
And then you start looking ahead towards Christmas 22, that type of thing. It's scary. It doesn't make you feel good.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
BigBizShow.com is our website. You can catch me everywhere at Sully Speaks Money. And you can catch Costa everywhere on Twitter at TheMikeCosta. On Instagram, TheOriginalCosta. On YouTwitface. Mike needs a new social media campaign.org. Look at that, the DTT. Thank you, boys. I appreciate that. You guys enjoying your new gig?
Oh, yeah.
You guys aren't up this early normally, you know? Which, by the way, the show airs at 7 p.m. Just call them balls and strikes here. Speaking of balls and strikes, Mike Costa, of course, our sports editor here at Big Biz Show, is, of course, filling in as our guest host. I have to ask you something. Is there any good reason? My Lord. Is there any good reason to sit there and watch the NFL draft? Like, seriously. Oh. Honest to goodness,
I
not only drink, but I not only watch, but just drink.
You're right, like, right. I know. I used to.
We're going down to Chiefs. We're watching the.
Like, but it's 4 days. It kicks off Thursday night in Vegas.
Have you ever watched the draft? Any draft whatsoever?
Just parts of it.
Yeah. But you guys barely watch the Grammys at this point, right? I mean, hey. I don't know if there's unless you know when your team's gonna get called.
Maybe
that is like, okay, we got this knucklehead fourth round and 50th
but
round.
But Sol, you get the alert on your phone. You can I should go tune in because you know I'm a huge Raider fan. My Raiders are picking. They're making giant spectacles. It's in Vegas this year. They're closing down a bunch of the Strip. Oh. They're expecting almost 1 million people. It's going to be a great windfall financially for Vegas. Yeah. But you've really, really, really got to love football.
Yeah. I don't, you know. I mean, I love football.
Yeah.
But I just don't, I just can't, I just can't see spending even a single minute. But then again, here's the guy who's acting like a 68-year-old watching full baseball games and teams that I don't even care about on Saturday. So that's fine. That's good.
It's each his own.
Yeah.
Or her own.
Yeah, or her own. Yeah.
For that matter.
Hey, we got an email from one of you to one of our executive producers, Greg Todorov, about a company called ESS Inc. ESS. And the gentleman's name, who's the CEO of the company, his name is Eric Dresselhaus. Eric Dresselhaus runs this company. And by the way, they are publicly traded under the stock symbol GWH, and they are in the business of long-duration energy storage. Now, I'm not sure if that means, because I think one of the problems with solar at one point was, sun shines, grab solar, what happens to the energy after? I'm not sure if that's this, but the question of energy storage has been around for some time, and what's interesting is that these guys are taking it square on and solving the problem, and of course, as a publicly traded company, trying to make it profitable. Eric, great to have you along. Welcome to the Big Biz Show, and let's talk about this, first of all, because is that Ryan Reynolds? That looks like Ryan Reynolds.
That's
Reynolds.
A good looking guy right there.
That is Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Loved your work in Deadpool, Eric. Loved it. Listen.
There you go.
I have to ask you, is the energy storage business, is that a solar question or is that just an overall top-down solution that we have to resolve for all energy?
Well, it's a little bit of both, Sully. First off, thanks for having me. Clearly what's driving the business today is renewables. As we move to higher and higher levels of renewable penetration, you've got that problem you mentioned. The sun sets on a nightly basis, the wind blows a lot, but not consistently. And we all want an electricity system that's reliable 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But it's become more than that. You're in California, you've got things like power safety shutoffs with wildfires. And so people want resiliency on a localized basis to ensure that they have power when they need it. And, you know, if you look at what's happening in Europe now, it's also getting tied up in energy security. How do you get off of Russian oil? Well, you shut down gas-fired peaker plants, but you do that with solar plus storage to create a reliable system.
I think what's interesting about this is if you think in terms of you know, environmental impact, like wildfire, you know, environmental impact sometimes doesn't have anything to do with green energy. Sometimes it has to do with just saving the environment with respect to wildfires. You know, it seems like you guys hit a roadblock every time you resolve something, there's some sort of other malady that happens to us. Like, hey, state of California is a great example. Wildfire, especially in the city of San Diego, where we broadcast from. I mean, it is a fair problem whereby we plan every year, especially where I live, to get the lose power for a half a day on a regular basis. So I've got a duplicative system here at the studio and at home, so I can broadcast anywhere just because you never know it's gonna have power. Let's talk about the power issue though, because you mentioned not just solar power, but you also mentioned what I guess we would call traditional power. At one point, Germany was the league leader in solar power. And, you know, I don't know who second was, but I remember that that's where the concentration was of solar power. Has solar power taken a better bite out of here in the U.S.? Because it was like solar power was popular, then it was not popular, then it got some bad press, and then it seems like it's on the rise again. What's the status currently of that renewable energy source?
No, you're right. It's very much on the rise. And, you know, California is a great example, but you can go to places like Australia, New Zealand, have huge renewable and primarily solar in that case penetration. Other parts of the country have renewables, but it's not solar as much as it is wind. So Texas is a good example of that. Huge amount of wind in Texas. And by the way, just so you don't think it's a coastal thing, you know, states like Iowa have huge renewable penetration now, all driven by wind.
Eric, talk about what you guys are doing there at ESS, because the long duration energy storage market is going to go nuts over the next 10 years. If you follow the flow of renewable energy, it has to. So talk about what are you guys up to?
You have to get it. And so really, our company was founded trying to solve two problems simultaneously. The first is, how do we have longer duration storage? So there has been storage. Lithium is the energy storage most people would be familiar with. But lithium at a grid scale, kind of at most, gets you about 4 hours. 2 to 4 hours is about the range. And that's just not enough if you're going to build this resilient system with renewables. But the second part of it was lithium, and you're reading a lot more about this in the last weeks and months. All of this reliance on rare earth minerals, whether it's lithium or cobalt or nickel, which is all from the Soviet Union, and you guys probably followed what happened in the nickel market. It kind of went nuts.
Yeah.
We looked at it and said, how do you get something that's more earth abundant, more broadly available that we can build here in America? And so we build a battery that's called an iron flow battery, which uses iron, salt, and water. So we have no reliance on rare earth minerals. We can build it all here in the US and deliver it across the country and really around the world. So we go for kind of 8 to 12 hour durations. And when you pair 12 hours of sunshine with 12 hours of battery, you get a 24-hour system.
Yeah, exactly. His name is Eric Dresselhaus. He is the CEO of a company called ESS Incorporated. GWH is their stock symbol, but you can go to their website. Their website, of course, is essinc.com. Where are you guys at? Talk about what you guys are most excited about over the next 18 months for your company, because obviously the next 10 years, future looks bright. But talk about what's short-term for you guys.
Yeah, well, we're excited about as we're shipping more and more product now, getting those use cases out in the market. Like anything in infrastructure, people like to see it out working. So we're getting a great response to the product, and we're excited to do more. We're also starting over the next couple of quarters to ship globally. So we've got projects in Europe and other places in Southeast Asia. So this is kind of different than a lot of things in renewables, where foreign companies are the dominant players.
Well, here he comes. Eric, I hope you'll join us again. Really interesting stuff. Haven't had a discussion on renewable energy for a long time, especially the question of storing the renewable energy. All right, more to come. We're going to have one more conversation about COVID. My buddy James Saperstein, president, chairman, and CEO of First Wave Biopharma, is coming up here in a second. Stand by. It's a Big Biz Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's a brave new world in media with hundreds of video and audio channels to choose. Have you noticed? There's a catch. Paying more for what once was part of my entertainment package. Biz TV is free on YouTube. Real stories about real entrepreneurs. A fresh look at the game of business. Hey Siri, get me Biz TV on YouTube. It's free. Did I say it's free? Biz TV, now streaming on YouTube. Hey Siri, get me Biz TV on YouTube or visit biztv.com.
DTT's here on the Big Biz Show.
So good.
Mike Costa, our sports editor here in studio as our co-host today. Great to have you along, Michael.
Great
Costa,
to be along
with your
Fasanobla
shirt.
Thank you very much.
Which means shapeable, by the way. That's what's going on. Speaking of shapeable, we have this stock market, and I get called every single day or emailed every day from you viewers and also listeners of this program asking me, are we in a bear market? Are we in a bear market? And I'm going to say, we've been hammered in 2022 in this marketplace. And there are certain things that are called a correction in a market. There are certain things called a bear market. But can you define, Mike Costa, what is a bear market?
Well, it's obviously, you know, a market that bears go to shop.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, honey.
You know, listen.
Grubs.
Even our crew here. Even the people that have nothing to do with business and
want
investing.
A six pack of hams?
No, that's
a bear market.
Remember hams beer from the land of Sky
the bear, waters, yeah.
Molly, our floor director, who often acts as a producer and, of course, is the den mother here, oftentimes kind of is the glue of this organization here at Loft 100 Studios. Molly, if I just threw it at you, Molly, what is a bear market?
Well, Robert, a bear market in securities and commodities trading, it's a declining market. A bear is an investor who expects prices to decline and, on this assumption, sells a borrowed security or commodity in the hopes of buying it back later at a lower price, a speculative transaction called selling short. Now, the term bear may derive from the proverb about selling the bear skin before one has caught the bear, or perhaps from selling when one is bear of stock. At any rate, beware of the bear. Now, over to you, Mike, to tell us about selling short in more detail.
Okay, Mike, what's selling short mean? How do you sell short selling?
Well, it's when you're less than feet tall.
So, Molly, see, that's exactly right. See, even, I shouldn't say even, Molly, even the people in this organization that have nothing to do with it. You need to catch up, man.
Come on.
There's more to the world than sports.
I just transferred in.
Guess who just joined us here, our CEO, as well as... best-selling author, CEO of Center Post, Scott Miller joins us as he does every week. And, of course, he is the host of Create, Build, Manage. Have you heard about his book? I don't even want to ask you the name of the CEO of the company's book because this is just going to make you look bad. Scott, how are you, brother? Good to see you, man.
I'm doing good, and the answer is right behind me if he needs a little cheat
code. See, a little media matter. See, just remember, take a screenshot of that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, Scott, you know Mike Costa, our sports editor here.
Absolutely, yeah.
Scott, how are you? I've read the book already twice. What's up?
That's awesome. That's good. That's two more times than Sully's read it, so you're doing awesome.
God, that is so true. Nailed me. Hey, I've got to ask you. So let's talk about this Elon Musk thing for a second because, boy, this fits right into your wheelhouse and what your show is about. And you've got Elon Musk, who has 84 million followers on Twitter. He shares memes. He shares news about Tesla. He shares news about his rocket ship company. And he cut a deal, $44 billion deal, as it were, to purchase Twitter. And by the way, $54.20 a share, which is about a 40% premium, which means in my mind, Scott, as a CEO of an organization, the CEO serves at the pleasure of the board of directors. The board of directors serves at the pleasure of the shareholders, and the board of directors has got a responsibility, as does the CEO, to make a fiduciary decision that benefits shareholders. I don't think the board had any chance other than to say yes to this, although there's going to be some scrutiny. But after that whole poison pill sort of head fake, I think that this was destined to happen based upon the share price. Don't you think, Scott?
I do. In fact, I was asked just last week when that was still on the table, what I thought was going to happen. I go, at the end of the day, Musk is going to win. He's going to get Twitter. So I'm not surprised that this happened. What's going to be interesting to me is what does this mean going forward? Once he takes over full reins, do we really know the politics of Musk? Yeah. I mean, do we really know? I don't think he's conservative or liberal. He's more like the politics of what helps my business.
Sure.
But he does advocate for free speech. So my big question is he going to reinstate a former president's Twitter account?
Yeah, isn't that the 400-pound gorilla in the room? Is who is he going to reinstate? You know, because there's been several people that have been booted off Twitter, and there's both sides of the political fence, red and blue, that would argue for either, getting a certain person on or keeping a certain person off. I think what he's trying to do is, in at least his explanation is, he's trying to make the media, which I would say other than our fine network here at Biz Television Network, fair and balanced. Because you have Fox right now, who's far right, and if you want to have confirmation bias of those beliefs, if you're a registered conservative, you're going to watch Fox, and everything you believe in is going to be spouted out through the television. If you are a Democrat and you watch CNN, everything you believe through confirmation bias is going to come at you at the TV. There is no sort of libertarian station where, let's say that you're socially liberal and fiscally conservative. That doesn't really exist, although it used to. I think what he's saying he's going to do is make it a town hall for all. But the question is, could he even do it? Can you even potentially do that? Because Right now, it seems that Twitter sort of favored the blue side, although I never stopped. And I'm not blue, nor am I red. I'm more, what do you think, purple, maybe tan, a little red?
Maroon is blue and red mixed.
So libertarian. But and I don't, I enjoy Twitter. I think it's good. I you know, but you can see through confirmation bias on either side.
Sure, absolutely.
I think there's going to be some folks that take their ball and go home as far as user-wise. But I think overall, I think it's probably going to be a better thing if he can do what he says he can do. I'm not sure he can do what he says he can do.
You know, I would put my money on him just because of what he's proven to us so far. I mean, it's amazing. The guy was practically had no money, and he's built not one successful company, but he's built two successful companies. I don't know about you, but it's been a while since I put somebody up in space. So I'm gonna bet on him. I think he can do it.
Well, and the one of the couple of the questions that come up regarding this deal, Scott, and Scott Miller, of course, is our CEO of Center Post Media. He hosts the show Create, Build, and Manage, and of course, Media Matters, which is sweeping the nation by storm. How to leverage the media to grow your business, which is really an interesting piece of this thing, because when you leverage the media to grow your business, that means free exposure if you can get it. And part of that is, how you manage getting on programs, staying on programs, and once you're on for your 3 minutes, what do you do with that, right? Now you've been on, what do you do with it now? And I think one of the other ones, questions that you answer, Scott, is how to get invited back. Because if you make life easy on the host and the staff, you're going to get invited back, right? Which is
absolutely.
Which is the only reason Scott Miller's back for the second. No other reason.
No other reason whatsoever.
Hey,
but it's interesting. I was just going to one thing about Twitter. I write in the book at this stage. If I'm a brand, I stay away from Twitter because it's been toxic. And so it will be interesting to see if Musk can turn it around, make it something that brands will want to be a part of again. Because I would have stayed clear. When they start kicking people off, again, I'm like you, I'm not politically making any statement here, but when you kick off somebody like a former president, it really sends a message. And so it'll be interesting on what the advertisers do. You mentioned about how many people will take their, get off. What will the advertisers do with Musk owning Twitter?
Because let's say, if you kicked off President Obama, you kicked off Ronald Reagan, you kicked off Jimmy Carter, and you kicked off Donald Trump. In the different time frames that those were in, there would be a different outcome as far as advertising sponsorships go. And I don't think we've ever been so vehement since the 60s with respect to our politics. I mean, let's face it, when we were in our 20s, it was a long time ago, I don't really think I even knew who president was. We were not engaged at that. No, actually, Ronald Reagan was president.
Yeah.
Actually, Caesar was president, and the cost of a loaf of bread was a chicken. But back when we were in our 20s. But if you think in terms of this, the youth are engaged now.
Yes.
And this is their platform. And by the way, as a result of that, it's become our platform because we can't leave that money on the table. And if you look in terms of the social media platforms, I would say in order of age demographic relevance, Twitter's got to be on top for most folks that are above the age of, 35?
Yes.
Followed by... and Facebook's almost become irrelevant other than
Facebook might as well be MySpace now.
Yeah, and other than for promotional, but then you look at TikTok, right? We got a TikTok money channel that's got 100,000 followers on it, and I feel like I'm too old for that thing, but obviously we're not too old.
My son only communicates with my wife, Scott, through Snapchat. And that's just boom, boom, boom.
Right.
That's right. That's the only way we could talk to our daughter in college as well.
Yeah.
I would say don't write off Facebook just yet, though. Facebook actually still has more interactions, more followers. TikTok's a sexy thing because it's been growing. So we talk about TikTok. Facebook is actually still up there. It's in the top three
where
people go to search for a business. Yeah, number one, of course, Google. Amazon's up there. Facebook as well. TikTok, that's growing. TikTok has a problem right now as well. You want to get into that. Their problem is, it started off all fun videos, they were cute, we enjoyed them. And then the war in Ukraine happened, and then all of a sudden our feed is filled with a bunch of footage from Ukraine, not fun anymore.
Right.
And so what does that do for brand advertisers? And then you have congressional oversight. TikTok is in the crosshairs right now of Congress. They're the one that really going after. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. With Twitter, though, it's for me, it's not so much the demographics. It's what do you go to Twitter
Scott Miller, CEO of Center Post Media, our CEO, of course, the author of Media Matters, and the host of Create, Build, Manage, right before our show. Right here on Biz TV. All right, much more to come. Big Biz Show continues. James East on bass, Trace Sojourn Hodges on drums, and Arnie Vilches on guitar. Good to see you guys today. Nice job. No, those guys don't rehearse. They just, James calls it out.
I know.
Doesn't it make you feel worse about
yourself? The mastery and the artistry of it right there.
Very quickly, one last sports story before we get to James Saperstein to talk a little bit about COVID. Of course, DraftKings and what's the other one?
FanDuel.
FanDuel started with $1 million. Mm-hmm. $1 million investment for each one of these things. Each one of those is valued well over $1 billion right now. And last time I checked, gambling is illegal in 49 states. Unless you are on a Native American gaming casino sort of arrangement.
True.
Which you can gamble somewhat, but it's not the same table games and such as it is in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's not a full-blown Vegas experience.
I'm not sure about the Atlantic City thing either. I guess, is it legal in Atlantic City?
Absolutely.
So maybe there's two states. So.
Yeah.
What does that tell you when you see a story that the Yankees have an official betting partner and Pete Rose still can't get into the Hall of Fame?
Well, okay, that you're right. That really is the rub.
Isn't that the 800-pound gorilla in the room?
Yeah.
I mean, look.
But the baseball purists are always going to say, but he bet on the games. He bet on his team.
Yeah.
And it's just like the NFL for the longest time said, professional.
Don't you think he's the only one who got caught? I'm not suggesting it was okay. But isn't he the only one who got caught?
Yes.
I mean, don't tell me that Chuck Muncy, back in the Charger days, was not betting on everything.
No.
Right?
God rest his soul. No.
Gary Templeton and the Padres. Hey, no. James Saperstein, of course, is the chairman, president, and CEO. I've been talking about him a bit today on First Wave Biopharma. One of my favorite people. He's just a good guy, and I get a chance to talk to him off the air quite often. Their stock symbol is FWBI. You can go to their website, which is firstwavebio.com. But I want to talk to him about a couple of things. What's going on with him? Because I know there's a number of things going on with the therapies, because the need for COVID therapeutics, so as not to depend on solely on vaccines, has been a big issue of theirs. And of course, they've got some other therapies going on. But James, I have to tell you, I just had a discussion yesterday that I should get my second booster shot, which would be my fourth shot. Am I the only one thinking this? Because I think this is now becoming front and center for many Americans as probably, you know, the world population, correct?
Correct. Yeah, and I know you like to say this, but people heard it on your show first.
Yeah.
Probably about 4 months ago, we talked about this, that the fourth booster was coming.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's going to be a strong recommendation for anybody over 50 or immunocompromised, that they need to get a fourth booster shot. Again, it's... Yeah, I had a talk with someone yesterday, actually, about the mask mandate that's been removed across the nation. And they asked me if I was comfortable with it. And I said, I think I'd be more comfortable if 90% of Americans were vaccinated. Then I think we can probably get rid of masks permanently.
You know, James, I have to ask you, with respect to that, it's been 6 months since my last vaccination, which is why I was bringing it up. And then the other thing was I just took a couple of days off over the weekend and was in Mexico and realized I had to take a COVID test where I can get back. I think we've all sort of forgotten, because it hasn't been front and center in the news for the last 3 months as much as it was before, kind of how important it is. But you were one of the first persons that talked about heading towards what's called an endemic. And I think the reason you were saying that was, look at you, you were never going to say this thing's going to ever go away, which was the bad news. The good news, at least it wasn't going to be a pandemic. It was going to turn to an endemic. Is it really come down to vaccination status at this point in your mind, or does it just come down to more research to see if we can lick this thing once and for all?
Absolutely, it's come down to vaccination status. In fact, the Biden administration, I believe yesterday, talked about putting more money into pharmaceutical therapeutics, which is the smart thing to do and make the Pfizer and Merck drugs more available. But still, I mean, if you don't have the vaccine, quite frankly, those drugs aren't going to do much for you. The vaccines are helping to prevent death, plain and simple. Not sure why people are fighting this, but you need to be vaccinated. And these vaccines have been around for a while, and they're in several million people at this point. So I'm not sure what other evidence people need to see.
James, let's talk about First Wave Bio, because you guys have made a number of milestones, not just with COVID therapeutics, but your niclosamide that works with GI symptoms and such. Talk to us. Give us a state of the union, and what are you looking most forward to for the rest of 2022 and beyond?
Well, we did do the COVID study. We should have a data readout fairly soon. We're waiting for our data lock to occur, and we'll put some news out on that soon. But we're really excited about ulcerative proctitis studies, which frankly is why we acquired the old First Wave Bio, the ability to help patients who have some severe GI disease. And we expect data on that this year. So some good things come along the pipe. So, just stay tuned.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I have to spend some time thinking about is the fact that you guys, there's these other maladies that are across the board. We talk COVID, and so on and so forth. But you guys are still marching down the field with the FDA and a number of other therapies. How is that going?
It's going well. I mean, we're considering filing a new IND for proctitis, but we're thinking how we might flip some of that data into ulcerative colitis. We have an open IND for checkpoint inhibitor colitis. There is excitement. Obviously, cash is king right now. The biotech market's under a lot of pressure. So these studies are probably going to be delayed a little bit so that we can make sure we can pay for them. But the data, from what we've seen is pretty encouraging.
I think for you guys also, if you think in terms of not just concentrating in one area, isn't that the key to biopharma these days? Because if you concentrate on one, you never know what's going to, you roll the dice a little bit. I mean, your research is king, but you sort of have to realize that if you don't have more than one thing in the air, then it's obviously a little dicey at some point, correct?
Yeah, we talk about that all the time, which is multiple shots on goal. For the companies that have just one product, it makes life pretty difficult. It's a very binary type of decision sometimes. So multiple shots on goal, if something doesn't work or it works to the success rate that you want it to, you have something else that you can go to.
Thank you. His name is James Saperstein. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of yours. And he's a great resource to the program. And long story short, really our go-to guy for COVID. And I feel better sometimes. I feel worse sometimes talking to James. James Saperstein, CEO of First Wave Bio, First Wave Biopharma. FWBI is the stock symbol. Okay, that does it for us. Jared Coleman is our director. Curtis Manovich, our assistant director. Molly the Tamale, our floor director. Greg Todoroff, our executive producer. Along with David Comatoy and Bianca Zerpa-Delgado, producer. JB, Jason Banks, our sergeant at arms.
I don't ever want to see it again.
Devin Doe, our man on the street. Michael Larson, our chief engineer. Brian Parento, our sound engineer. The DTT, Dave Trader Trio, ladies and gentlemen. And Mike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pastor.
Nice.
Catch us everywhere at bigbizshow.com. Sully speaks money. See you tomorrow.